The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent the other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I hope everyone is enjoying the month of October. All of a sudden, pumpkins are everywhere, right? I already had my first pumpkin spice latte. I'll admit, I fell into the temptation. The season that we're in seems to coincide well with this gospel. Jesus gives us an image of a vineyard ready for harvest, the harvest season. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about that parable and how it related to each one of our hearts. Do I have a heart the size of a teacup or a heart the size of an ocean? And today I want to continue that image because Jesus continues using these parables of the vineyard. Tonight I want to talk about the door of our heart. When we read this gospel passage as Catholics, when we read the Bible, every single passage in the Bible can be looked at in four different ways. There's four layers to Scripture that as Catholics, when we read the Bible, we can always look to. The first one would be the literal or the historic meaning of what's happening. The second one I'm going to talk about is the moral application for us today. The other two I'm not going to mention. I'll leave that hanging, maybe for a future homily. Today, Jesus, as he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders of Israel, he's giving them a parable, and it's very clear what he was intending to say. The psalm says today, "The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel." And yet, Israel, in its leaders, was rejecting the Messiah, and that vineyard was going to be given over to a new people, which would be a people for the whole earth. All of the Christians, Jews and pagans alike, would be this new people of the Lord. You can imagine why this parable caused some problems at the time when Jesus was speaking to the Jewish elders this way. But that's right and good for back then, but the second layer of interpreting Scripture, an application for us today. What is Jesus speaking to us today? How is this vineyard part of our life? We're not rejecting Jesus, maybe the way the Jewish leaders did. But how often, perhaps, Jesus comes to knock on the door of my heart and I do not open to him, or I'm not ready to do that. So now I have a little story, this one from Mexico, actually. I was in the middle of nowhere, Mexico. north of the town of Puebla, really in the middle of nowhere. In fact, the locals had an expression. For them to say middle of nowhere was to say where the wind turns around to come back. And so that's where we were, where the wind turns around to come back. And I was with a large group, a father-son group that we had put together from Omaha, Nebraska, from an abbey there, Mount Michael's Abbey, run by the Benedictines. A lot of the students and their dads, about 50 of them, we had them out there in the middle of nowhere. And we were building two homes for some poor families in the area that the local priest had pointed out to me that needed some help. And they were really hard to get to because their homes were there. The wooden, you could say, shack that they were in was on top of a large hill. And there was no road to get up there. And every house implied 1 ton of cement, bags of cement, 100 pounds each, which meant carrying them up on your shoulders. It was a lot of fun, and we let the teen guys do most of the heavy lifting, right? But I was out there, I dropped off the group, and there was two houses, they were in different places. I was in my old truck there, and as I hopped in, unfortunately, I turned on the motor, and I looked down at the gas gauge, and I realized I was out of gas. The needle was well below the E, and I was where the wind turns around to come back. Not a good place to be. And so I did the only thing I could do, which was point the truck in the direction of the nearest gas station, 30 minutes away, start going and saying my prayers that I'll make it. And my plan was, you know, I'm gonna run out of gas, I'm gonna end up walking and hitchhiking to the gas station, and I'm gonna end up hitchhiking back, and it might take an hour, it might take the whole day, but we need the truck. So off I went, saying my prayers. And around the first corner, I pass a woman walking on the side of the road with a bundle in her arms, and she turns to see me, and her face said it all. She was in trouble. I stopped the truck and said, you know, Señora, what's the matter? And she opened up her bundle, and she had a very sick, tiny baby girl with a very high fever. And she told me she needed to get her daughter to the doctor. And so, of course, I said, hop on in. In my brain, I said to myself, you know, great, the doctor's right next to the gas station, perfect. But in Mexico, things aren't always that way. And so she hops in, and we're going, and she says, by the way, Father, today the doctor is in Santa Marta, not in Aguasotepec, which was the opposite direction. So there I was, not wanting to have to turn the truck in a different direction, really worried that I was going to be out of gas. Santa Marta did not have a gas station, and it was over another big hill, and no one in my group that I was working with would have any idea where I was if I ran out of gas in that direction. But we went. The little girl needed to go to the doctor, so off we went up the hill. All of a sudden, we're halfway up the hill, and she says, you know, by then she realized I was a priest. I was dressed just in, you know, work clothes, covered in dirt. And she says, Father, stop the truck. So I stop the truck. She hops out and she hides behind a little stone wall there. She doesn't even tell me why she's all of a sudden hiding. And I'm just sitting in the truck kind of wondering what is going on now. And as I'm sitting there kind of thinking, I guess I should go look for her, another truck drives up behind and there's this really big Mexican guy with the bigotes, like the mustache thing, typical. And he's kind of like looking around for someone. He drives by and takes off. And when he's out of sight, she comes back in and she hops in the truck. And I waited for an explanation and she gave it. She said that was her uncle who's looking for her because her family doesn't want anyone to help her because her child had been born. She wasn't married. And so she had been sort of kicked out of the family in some way. So now I had the angry uncle looking for me as well. This is not going well. We went back up to the top of the hill, and I'm thinking there's no way I'm making it back up the hill once I go down to the bottom, to Santa Marta. And as soon as the truck goes down, my dirty water bottle that was on my seat rolls down and kind of, you know, gets under the gas pedal. So I'm reaching down to pick it up, and as I do so, and I'm putting the bottle back next to this little baby, a thought hits me. you should baptize this little girl. And I asked the mom, is your daughter baptized? She says, no, would you please do that? And I said, yes. We stopped the truck and I baptized. The girl's name was Heriberta. Little Heriberta became a daughter of God. And the story, which at that point had been so difficult, all of a sudden everything was resolved. I'm getting back in the truck on the other side. And before I'm even in, another truck comes by with a man and his wife and kids there. And I was able to ask him, hey, could you take this poor woman down to the doctor? So she was within not even 3 minutes of the baptism, she was already gone in a different truck. And I turned my truck around. I got to the top of the hill. I got to the bottom of the hill. And I actually made it to the gas station. That uncle that was looking for her never saw me again. I didn't bump into him. Filled up with gas. I made it back. Got to the work site a little bit later than I would have liked. But everything had become different. I realized I was fighting against God. I was not wanting to open the door of my heart. I wanted to get things done that were good. I wanted to build these houses and kind of move the things along. We were doing the Lord's work, but the Lord had an even better work in store for us that morning. Who cares about the houses? Heriberta became a daughter of God. It was a beautiful wake-up call, reminder of me that God surprises us in many different ways, and it's not always clear when he's knocking on the door of your heart. And so this week, we're all praying that we have hearts the size of an ocean and not a teacup, but let's pray that we open the door of our heart, that vineyard which is the Lord's. In whichever way he may come, perhaps it's quality time in the family, right? That's such a beautiful gift. It could be a neighbor. It could be some, you put words to it. In your heart, you'll know when that door is being knocked on. And hopefully this week, all of us at St. Gabriel's will be able to say, I have welcomed the Lord into my vineyard when he came. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.